do you know that song, Jesus, He's a Waymaker? We used to sing it years ago. Let's sing that there, brother, if we can. I know it's going to be a hard one.
Jesus, He's the Waymaker, Jesus. He's the Waymaker, Jesus. He's the Waymaker. One day, get away from me when I was lost in sin. He came and took me in. One day, get away for me.
Praise God. Let us turn to the Word of God tonight to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. And I won't keep you as long tonight. Just a few thoughts and reading the day, and I want to read you some things I've wrote down, marked down, and I won't try and preach too much tonight. But I want to read this. Quite a lengthy portion of reading. And I know we're very familiar with these readings, but I want to read it tonight. And the Lord bless each and every one. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were there dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Yeah. And there were all they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus in Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice.
Amen.
And said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Amen. But this is that
glory
which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come." Here's a key verse, verse 21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
Praise God. Let us bow again. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this precious word tonight.
Amen.
Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give us something from your word tonight, Lord. And you'll bless and strengthen your people. We come against every work of the enemy in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We pray for the freedom of the Spirit of God and liberty of the Holy Ghost.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Lord, that your work will go forward.
Hallelujah.
No man's work. Lord, no kingdom building,
yes,
but just your kingdom.
Amen.
Lord, you said that the gates of hell shall be against it,
yes,
but they cannot prevail.
Amen.
Lord, we ask for that anointing that breaks the yokes. And we take the promised Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we thank you for it.
You,
in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. I want to just take for a title or a text, and I don't want to preach much. Pentecost, true revelation. Revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, when I give my testimony, when I was in the different places and I thought back, one experience I had in Czechoslovakia was that God let me understand what they were speaking in English, but they never spoke a word in English.
Yeah.
But I heard every single thing they said in my own language, wherein I was born, but they never spoke a word in English at all. But God let me hear it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, and those that know the background know I was traveling with women preachers. Imagine having the sermons of William Branham and you're traveling with women preachers. And this is what I emphasize over my travels in this journey. You can have a spoken word book if you want on the Bible. That's good. But it will never save you.
Right.
Unless you have an experience,
amen,
what that book's talking about,
amen,
you'll never go.
Amen.
You have to have the experience with the Lord yourself. And William Branham said in the church age book, he said, this is the age. But God's not dealing with the Jews or the Gentiles as a group, but as individuals.
Right.
And God is calling individuals today.
Yeah.
Not groups, but individual men and women.
Yeah.
And we have to hear His voice, praise God.
Yeah.
But I was there and God did that supernatural, and I told one of the people I was with, and they said, they actually got cross. They said, there's no way that's possible, because they never spoke a word in English. And I told them it, and they fell onto the steps and cried. And said, it's all the truth. Now, what they said was, I was a useless bum. That was their own words. I was a useless bum. And I would be no good for nobody and no good for nothing, because these wonderful missionary women was going into Russia. And here I was sitting on my backside doing nothing, and they were going off with these Bibles. But I was visited by the Lord the night before. And the same one that came to me in the jail cell came to me in the night time. And he showed me open vision, and he showed me spirits what had come upon these missionaries and took them over, and they were not the Holy Spirit. They were unclean demons. Now you might not understand that, I don't. But it happened anyhow. And he told me what would happen the next day. And that night God opened to me the scriptures in a new way. I had read them before, but never understood them. But God opened them to me. And the next morning I announced that I would be traveling no more with women preachers. And they lit out on me with their fists closed, ready to fight. It was not real brotherly love. And I tell you, they were ready to give me the boxing glove treatment. I could have took them on, certainly. But that's not what it's about. But I'm just letting you know someone took them over. And God showed me from the Bible, I suffer a woman not to teach, nor serve authority over the man, but to be in subjection to her own husband. That's the word of God. Now God dealt with me in that. And I split with him on that. And the voice spoke to me audibly, like in jail. And the voice said, thou shalt depart from this work till another I will show thee.
Yeah.
I come back home. That's when we began to listen to sermons of William Branham and got the tapes and the different things. And around that time, and we met Brother Ron Borthwick, was a key to that. It all was gone. And now you talk about people getting saved. Well, people got saved everywhere I went. That people here can testify to that.
Amen.
I led people to the Lord in phone boxes,
right,
and chippies and cars everywhere. On jobs and everywhere. People were getting saved all the time. And that's the truth. Now, they might not be all here tonight, but I can't do anything about that. It's not up to me to keep them.
Right.
You remember that. God can save somebody, but it's not up to you to keep them.
Right.
It's God that keeps us.
Amen.
And only God. We can't even keep ourselves. Not the truth?
That's right.
And I tell you, went from that, and then when we first started doing our meetings, I didn't want to be a pastor. I had no notion of being a pastor. I didn't want to do it. I didn't even want to do any of that at all. And I led a fleece before the Lord. And the fleece was, when we done our first service, if somebody gets saved, that's my sign God's called us to come out and do it. And Nigel got saved the first night.
Yeah.
Now, how are you going to argue with that? And every time I led a fleece before God, he done it. Now, I'll put it to you tonight. If you're going to do something, you lay one before him. See what happens.
Right.
See if God will answer it. Then you'll know it's God. Don't be afraid to do it. John Higgy said this here. He said that God wants his people to ask him for something big. So big that God will reach forward of his throne room and look down, and this is just his words, look down in amazement and say, whoa! Look what he's asked for, and I'm pleased with it. This is God. God's pleased with it that we can ask God for someone that's spectacular. Because God wants us to ask him for someone big. Because he's a very big God.
Right.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
And that's our meeting started. And now the thing is, if the voice in jail called me and the voice in Czechoslovakia spoke to me, I cannot change any of that. And I cannot go another way unless God directs me.
Amen.
Now if the Lord directed me, I'd go. There's times I've wanted to run away. 1,000 times I've wanted to run to the hills. My old grandmother used to say, my mom's mom, she used to say, I think I'll leave Ireland and go up a tree. That's the saying she used to have. But you only can do what God's called you to do.
Right.
You can do no more than he's called you to do, or no less. And here's the thing about it. If God has called you to lift a brick there and carry it to there, that's all you're called to do. Don't try and get a wheelbarrow and move him all at once if he didn't tell you to do it. Do what he called you to do. And here's the thing, and Brother Andrew mentioned this when we were away, and he said God spoke to him about this. He said that you cannot do the work of another. You cannot do the work of another. So if God's called a man, whatever he's called him to do, no other man can do his job. If he tries it, it'll fail. It won't work. You have to do what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
Now God's called all of us different. There's a wall and there's different stones in the wall. But every stone is needed in the wall. Even like a brother guy preached about the body. You can, the hand can't say that the toe don't need you and so forth. You remember that? And there's brothers, we mightn't agree with everything they do and the way they do it, but are there still our brothers in the Lord or not?
Yes.
Certainly they are.
Yes.
Brother Branham was against denominations, but not the people.
Right.
Do you understand that? He said he's not against the people, but he's against the organization because God is. But God loves the people.
Amen.
And it's the same around the message movement. You can't treat it different. There's a lot of stuff around it that we know is wrong. But God still loves the people.
Amen.
And many times you think, why do you go here and there? But God's got people.
Yes, amen.
God has people in there.
Right.
And them people need the Lord.
Amen.
And God has people there. And it's not all wrong. There's the genuine as well. Don't forget that. There is the real corn.
Amen.
And you remember we're in the age now. It's no more stalk of wheat. All the ages come up to this age. This is the final age. We are living in the last days. We're living in the day of the seventh church age. And according to this book of Revelations, there's to be 7 church messengers, 1 for each age. Now we cannot say to God, you made a mistake with a 7th messenger. We have a better idea or plan than him. You can't do that. Neither can you say to God, I will reject that, I won't need it. You can't do it. When God sends someone in his word, you don't rip it up and throw it over the hedge and say we don't need it. It's there for a reason and a purpose. And God's word's truth. And let every man be a liar. Am I right? So we thank God. I would love to see more people here tonight. I'd love to see more people saved.
Yeah.
Certainly I would. But I can't save them. And furthermore, they don't come preaching to the church anyhow. And I don't mean yourselves, I mean unsaved. You have to get them in to get them saved.
Right.
And I'll tell you one thing, there's no special man to get people saved. If you think that, you're wrong.
Right.
Now, you might think nobody's getting saved here, but how come I've seen people saved on his way? God never turned me inside out and made me somebody different.
Right.
It's because there's people there to hear it.
Right.
And if there's people here to hear it, they'll get saved as well.
Yeah, right.
And you don't have to bring a different message to get people saved. If you think that, you're wrong as well. The gospel's the same.
Amen.
It never changed.
Amen.
Pentecost is the inauguration of the church. The true church began on the day of Pentecost. There's no theologian, no Bible scholar or historian can ever say that it began in the days of Martin Luther, Wesley, Catholic age, or any other age. It began at Pentecost. So therefore, and a discussion with anybody, stand on the gate of Pentecost. You hearing this? I wrote this today. And they cannot go nowhere else, so God brings us back to the original, the beginning.
Amen.
Pentecost.
Amen.
Now the preacher comes and says, oh, he's just leading them back to Pentecost. That lets you know he doesn't really believe what he calls a message.
Right.
He's preaching another message.
Amen.
Well, the message is not the message. But it's something that got Andre preached. It's not the truth. When a message is not really the message. There is a real message. Don't we sing the song about it? I have a message from the Lord. Don't be afraid. I don't want to hear the word message. Now that's wrong if you think that. There is a message.
That's right.
The gospel is a message.
Amen.
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 I know of a great preacher and he should hear it himself. What I'm going to say, he should rehearse it himself today. He fell into a dream. He was fasting and seeking God. He was confused with all the different interpretations around the whole thing. And he fasted and he sought God and he came in a dream and he came up with a prayer line before William Branham in the dream. And William Branham looked at him and he told him, God bless your ministry, where you're going. And he was going exactly where he was told. And God has blessed his ministry in that place.
Amen.
Then he was about to go and he paused for a moment and he said, Brother Branham, am I preaching the message? Brother Branham turned back to him and he said, Brother, are you preaching the word of God? And he said, yes, he said, then you're preaching the message.
Amen.
The message is the word of God.
Amen.
God never brought us a new book, but he opened this book.
Yes.
God never brought us a new way. He brought us back to the original way, Pentecost.
Yes.
The gate is Pentecost.
Right.
The early church, the early disciples told lies. They quit. They lied. They cheated. They done all sorts until Pentecost. But Pentecost cured them. How many knows that's the Bible?
Amen.
Peter denied the Lord and everything and cursed the whole lot. But after Pentecost, you'll not read that.
Right.
You'll read of a man with a boldness on him.
Amen.
That preached Jesus. You'll read of him that he said it. Paul said it, know nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Malachi 4 verse 5 and 6 says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. We are promised the spirit of Elijah in our day. Now we cannot pick these scriptures, fold them up and throw them away. They're here.
Amen.
They're here for a purpose. They're here for a reason. Now the voice that God sent was not to build a new kingdom. The voice that God sent was not to cause all the confusion there is. But the voice God sent was to take us back to the original apostolic faith, the gate, Pentecost.
Amen.
You know, Brother Andre preached one sermon and I caught it. And I said to him afterwards, and I said, Brother, you should preach a real message on that bit. And he said, you're right. But he said, where God took him back to the mount. And he brought out of it, where God took him back to where he first met with Moses. To the beginning. And God's done the same today. God brings us back to the beginning, to Pentecost.
Yes.
God does not bring us back to an organization or a system, they all fail.
Yes.
But He brings us back to the original Pentecostal experience, and the true church today needs the Holy Ghost, and the true church today needs a fivefold ministry with the nine gifts of the Spirit working in it, and the Bible says that will perfect the church.
Amen.
That's the Bible.
Amen.
Now somebody else can have another idea, but that's not scriptural, so don't ever worry about it.
Amen.
There's scarecrows here and there's scarecrows here, but stay in the middle. Amen. Stay with the Word. Amen.
Great.
Now it's got to come back to the original, because God is infinite. He's omnipotent. Therefore, Him being infinite, He cannot do something here and do something contrary to it over here. He's got to do it each time like He did in the first time. Like Peter said one day when the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost, he said, "Can we forbid water, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost alone, which we did at the beginning?" Now look at the scripture, Acts 10:47-48. "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" "And they commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they Him to tarry certain days." Now how did they know they received the Holy Ghost? We don't believe in tongues, we don't believe in the gifts.
Well,
read that. Come on now, read it. That's the Bible, that's the blueprint. There's where we have to go back to the book of Acts. He said, "We heard them speak with tongues and prophesy like we did at the beginning." But here we are today, and people's telling us we don't need tongues and we don't need to prophesy, but we've got a new message and a new way. God's new way is not a new way, it's the original way. The original way. God has no new way. Do you hear that tonight? The gates Pentecost.
Amen.
You said, "Where did you get that from?" That's what the prophet preached. When you preach what he preached from the Word of God, it sounds different than all this stuff out here.
Amen.
There are people today that's not preaching what he preached. And they're calling it the message of the hour when it's not. It's a message of a lot of their imagination. But not the hour. But there is a true message. And God's prophet brought a true message. Not that we would worship Him. Not that we would pray to Him or bow down to Him. But that we would turn back with a full heart to Jesus Christ and seek God for the Pentecostal experience.
Amen.
And He said, "Before this church goes, the bride goes, she'll have a refilling of the Holy Ghost."
Right.
And surely we need a refilling of the Holy Ghost tonight. We need it. That God would baptize us again. That God would fill us again. That God would empower us again with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So that our neighbors would know it, and the people who work with would know it. It would mention Jesus.
Amen.
For the cleansing power.
Amen.
And we're filled with the power of God. I tell you, remind back when you first got saved, and some of us got the Holy Ghost. You didn't have to get up somewhere to see if you had it or not. You knew you had it. Why? Because you were there when it happened.
Amen.
Stick your hand in a red hot fire and then see the next day where you knew you stuck it in or not. You'll know it all right.
Yeah.
It was Brother John reminded me of that Brother Joseph, the great old Elam Pentecostal preacher, but I used the saying for years, and he had said it, so I got it from him. It's a good one, and I'm going to keep it. But I told the fellow, he's talking to me about the Holy Ghost, different gifts and all, and I told him, I said, "Brother, you see these shoes. When I went down for these shoes to the shop, I never asked for tongues. I asked for shoes, and the tongues was in them when I got them."
Amen.
Hallelujah! Glory to God!
Amen.
The tongues was in the shoes, praise God! I tell you, you can't get shoes without tongues. Every pair of shoes you have has tongues in them.
Amen.
And there's 8 holes. 9 gifts of Spirit. We 8 holes and the tongue. Isn't that good? Simple, but it's real. And he looked at me. He said, "Which one have you?" I said, "The whole lot." He says, "How could you have?" I said, "If you have the Holy Ghost, you have them all." I says, "He can make you use anyone he wants, when he wants, wherever he wants. He's the one who controls. Yield yourself to God.
Amen.
God will do anything."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you believe it?
Amen.
You know, you just look at the people It's a bit like the day and they came to Jesus, the law, lawful. You know, they said, we're following Moses' law, and by Moses' law we can put away our wife if she sniffs wrong. Now you've heard it as well, round massive circles, if it cuts a bit of her hair off, get rid of her. If she wears her dress too short, throw her out. Have any heard all that? I've not even preached it myself in the past. I would admit it. I know a whole lot wouldn't, but I'm honest about it. You know, you're quiet, but I'm telling you the truth. This is just like here. I'm going to show you it. And I'm going to show you as well what William Branham said about it. They came to Moses, Matthew 19, verse 3 to 10. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that which God made them at the beginning, male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command them to give a right of divorcement, and to put away, and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of the hearts, suffered to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Now what are we living in? We're living in a day of restoration. We know that. And God is bringing us back to the original. Amen. Now watch what else he said. I know it's quiet in here, but I don't care.
Amen.
And he saith unto them, look, verse 9. And I say also unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication and marry another, committed adultery. That's plain English.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, I believe a woman shouldn't cut her hair off. I believe that. Absolutely. You know I believe that. But if her brothers did, if he loved her, surely he would keep her, wouldn't he? If he really loved her, he'd forgive her. Look, Adam's wife done more than that. Come on. Adam's wife done more than that. But Adam, being a type of Christ, kept her. Now all of us have done more than that. But Jesus still took us.
Amen.
And the Word of God says some of us were fornicators.
Amen.
Some of us were adulterers and all sorts of stuff. But the Bible says now you're clean. Now you're pure because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So let's have some mercy.
Amen.
And if we are the bride of Jesus Christ,
yes,
and I believe we are part of it,
yes,
then the bride of Jesus has to have the love of Jesus,
yes,
and the mercy that Jesus has in her bosom.
Yes.
Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
There is reasons genuine where it can happen. That's what the Lord's showing. But not just for nothing.
Amen.
There has to be a genuine reason. But I tell you, things go extreme, but it wasn't so from the beginning. People say they're following the Word, but they do the opposite to the Word. But God wants us to do what the Word of God teaches and the Word of God says. The gate is Pentecost. I tell you, it's wonderful, you know. So we must go back to the beginning. Amen. Back to the beginning. The reason God sent what he sent in the 20th century was because the locust and the cankerworm had eaten away at all the truths of God, at all the real things of God down through them ages, were all eaten away, and they had a man-made system and a man-made tank, a broken cistern.
Right.
And everything can go in a broken cistern, but there is original artesian well.
Amen.
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 And God's word is original.
Amen.
If we're going to talk about the church, we must go to God's own book, the book of Revelations. The revelation of Jesus Christ, this is the most official book of any book in the Bible. How many believes that? The book of Revelations. This is the only book that Christ put a seal upon. It starts off with a blessing and it ends with a curse. It starts off, blessed is he that readeth, and it ends up, if you change it, you're cursed. Your name's even taken out. If you take one word from it. It's not strong stuff. That's the Bible. Amen?
Amen?
So we see when old Father stands up, and you know who I'm talking about, and he says, don't no more come to Jesus, come to me. He's
right.
Taken away from this book.
Amen.
He's finished.
That's right.
He's Antichrist.
But
he's anti-word.
Amen.
And you know there's a black pope,
yeah,
that advises the real pope. And the black pope's the head of the Jesuit order. Don't get me started tonight on it. But the Jesuits have infiltrated the end time message. They've infiltrated the Pentecostal denomination. They've infiltrated everywhere. I know what I'm talking about. I talked to a man that knew Roberto Riviero. I put them several questions when I was away, and he answered them, and they were wonderful. But I knew it myself all along. And I believe God gave me a little preview of a Jesuit right in the midst. I don't mean here, but somewhere else. You know what I'm talking about? How many knows what I'm talking about? But the Jesuits infiltrate everywhere. And they take true statements and sayings, then they mix them.
That's right.
And then the plan is to get you away from the absolute. And the absolute is God's word.
Amen.
That's the absolute. Nothing else.
Amen.
There's nothing else. It's the absolute, only the word of God. It is the absolute.
Amen.
Nothing else is. Now I tell you, when I talked to that man about Roberto Riviero, the Catholic Church denies him. They wouldn't they? They reckon they poisoned him. You go and look it up, they'll tell you how he died, and then it tells you in side margin they reckon they poisoned him. They got him out of the road. Because he exposed them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll tell you backslid, and he did all sorts. Another scandal. That's to ruin, that's to take away the impact he had. So that you won't listen to them. That's what that's for. And they've done it with so many men of God. And there's boys in their podcasts. And you notice in these podcasts, they start to... There's one great man, and I'm not going to mention him, but he took all the men, he called the God's generals, and he went in there, and he took all them men, and he said wonderful things, but he made one big mistake. He says, now this is how they made a mistake, and I wouldn't have done this, and I wouldn't have done that. And the next thing, he fell. Because who was he?
Yes.
He couldn't unlace their shoes.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous to condemn a man of God.
Amen.
Especially when you can't even lace his shoes.
Right.
And you start to tell him you would have done this and you would have done that.
Right.
We can do nothing only what the Lord permits us.
Amen.
By his grace.
Amen.
And let the chiefest be the servant of all.
Amen.
That's the word of God.
Amen.
And you know, Clayton Sanmore tells, he said the full gospel businessman was going well, and God's prophet went amongst them, and signs and wonders moved, and people were healed and delivered. But he says they got high and mighty. And they started to give themselves titles and names. And once they give titles and names, and they thought they were something, the spirit just moved away. And they organized and it died. And God never revives an organization. He moves on.
Amen.
But the word doesn't organize. Amen. The true word. There's lots of stuff. Claim it. They'll organize. Sure they will. But the word won't. How many knows it? God's word won't. Because it's the Spirit of God. So we must go back to the beginning in the church. We go back God's own book. The book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the most official book of any book of the Bible. This is the only book that Christ seals. Up and starts off with a blessing and ends up with a curse. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, you can read it. Let's just read it for a moment. It's only 10 to 7. And I testify unto every man that hear the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now is that strong stuff?
Amen.
Now this book talks about the second death, but your preachers today are saying that's impossible. There's no such thing as a second death. And they'll argue with you, with all their quotes and all the wee sayings and all the rest of it. But the Bible says in Revelations,
right.
It says there's a second death.
Amen.
It said, hell give up the dead, and they were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death.
Amen.
There's no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's no such thing as eternal life in hell. That's false teaching.
Right.
There's only eternal life. How many believes that? In the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he doesn't want us to go to hell. He wants us to go to heaven.
Amen.
That's why Jesus bridged the gap at Calvary.
Yes.
The great gulf that Christ
Glory.
Stood upon. The gulf.
Amen.
We can't go across it, but he did.
Amen.
He crossed the gulf.
Glory.
And he's the only way over. He's the bridge.
Amen.
Between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But there's no other meaning you're given among men but the man Christ Jesus, whereby you can receive Jesus Christ only.
Amen.
No other way.
Amen.
Thank God. People are preaching you can live forever in hell and have eternal life. Absolutely false. False teaching. Now I don't care who they are. Our denomination, stand so firm on it. You know, our denomination, we believe it. Well, it's false. We are standing for it. And you can have nothing to do with us, so you don't believe it. You always watch for people go too strong on something. It's like people that make rules. I know people that made rules in certain wee clubs and then they broke them themselves. Then one fellow went to the other boy and he said, now you broke it yourself. Is it black or white? He said, well, it's neither. He said, well, it was black and white last week.
That's right.
But now if you've broken it, it's neither. God's word's straight and plain, isn't it?
Amen.
Aren't you glad there's mercy even if you do fall short?
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus lays there for you. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Look, I made a mistake. Shouldn't have said it, I shouldn't have done it. The Lord will say, come in. One step towards Him, 10 steps He takes towards you.
Amen.
Thank God for mercy tonight. If Satan hates any book, it's this Bible. It's Revelation. There's two things. He hates the whole scriptures. He hates all the scriptures, the holy canon of the scripture. But if anything he despises mostly is the revelation of revelations of Genesis. And then the two books he's against. He knows in Genesis he's uncovered. He's uncovered. He's uncovered when you can see in Genesis that it was not an angel that come down and pressed himself into human form. That would make Satan the creator. But it was that serpent. And we know that Ezekiel says, thou hast been in the garden of God. Thou hast been amongst the cherubims. In other words, you've been a naughty boy. Not right, the word of God uncovers him. And he deceived Eve. He tricked her. Half God said. God did say. But she did what the serpent said. And she bore a child called Cain. And she had another child called Abel. And she says, I've gotten Ammon from the Lord. But she two. She twins. One of them was from God. But one of them wasn't. And you know then the whole bloodstream's corrupted. You cannot go in. I don't care how smart you are and how well you dissect this all up. You can try it and run the trail and all that. You can't do it. It's all corrupted. But Calvary fixes it.
Amen.
You get the blood transfusion at the cross.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because every one of us has sin in our blood.
That's right.
Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But Jesus Christ came with God's blood.
Amen.
The true antidote for mankind, the blood of Almighty God in the veins of His Son Jesus.
Amen.
Not Jewish blood or Gentile blood, but God's blood.
Amen.
And we can receive a transfusion, and His blood type matches everything.
Amen.
Whosoever will come. Mm-hmm. We believe in predestination, but we don't believe in a limited atonement. How many agree with me tonight?
Yes.
We believe God will save whosoever will come.
Amen.
I believe the power of God can save 1,000 worlds. I believe that. I'll never change it. I believe it's powerful.
Amen.
I know a lot of people say there's no more blood and there's no more chemistry. Well, I can differ with that right away. I don't agree with that. I believe the blood of Jesus entered heaven and that's what opened it. And if it never entered, it'll never open. People say there's no chemistry. There's nothing till it no more fell into the ground, dried and congealed and dried up. Then they quote you the scripture, the blood of Jesus. Well, the Bible says flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, remember, can do it because He never sins. Then you go to Hebrews chapter 9. And Hebrews chapter 9 says, as the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood,
yes,
so are the heavenly.
Amen.
Did God make a mistake?
No.
I don't think so.
Great.
But some preacher did.
That's great.
Not God.
Right.
Stay with the absolute.
Stay.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell you someone, aren't you glad you can eat the chicken and leave the bones?
Yeah.
Or eat stuffed with pie. What? Cherry pie. Now I'm looking at Sister Carl. She knows she hasn't baked me a pie in a long time. It's alright, sister. I love them. What do you call them? Them pies. Oh, they're great. Cherry pies. I used to love apple tart and cherries and new pie. But you can leave the wee stones, you know, in the pie. But you don't throw the pie out, sure you don't. Amen? You leave the chicken bones when you eat the chicken. Some people like the skin, I don't. How many likes the skin in the chicken? Some people do. They like the skin of the chicken. It's nice and crispy, but I don't eat it. I just eat the chicken. But it's alright if you want the skin. How many know some people like the fat on beef? They like the fat on the beef. If it's burned a bit, they love it. And they say, if you want to be thin, eat fat. And you want to be fat, eat thin. I think it works. My wife's slim, she eats the fat. I don't eat the fat, and I'm fat. You work that? I know it's crazy, but maybe it's just my imagination. But in the Lord God,
amen.
Satan's against these two books. He hates the canon of Scripture.
Yes.
But if anything he despises mostly is Revelation and Genesis. He hates them two books. Because Genesis tells the beginning, Revelation reveals what's going to happen to him in the last days. It reveals how the devil started to corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
It uncovers the Garden of Eden and it shows how he got to Eve before Adam. And it was not an apple or an orange, but it was an act of adultery.
Right.
Because even the apostle said, that wicked one, in the epistles he said, not as Cain, he was off his father the devil. He calls him out.
Yes.
Knowing the Bible.
Amen.
Then the same word of God over in the book of Revelation says that the devil will be cast into the lake of fire at the end of the 1,000 years. Praise God!
Yes.
What Nicholson said. He says, when the Lord takes him down and puts him in, he says, I'll be there and I'll put my boot in him. Well, I can see what Nicholson means. He hates the devil. And you should hate the devil because he's not for you. He's against you. I told him everywhere I went, don't fight a demon. Don't fight a demon of cancer or a demon of pain or any demon and call it your devil. My this, my that, it's not, it's a devil. And call it a devil. Don't pat the devil. He's unclean, he's filthy. He's against you. He's against me. He wants to bind you. He wants to put you on the floor so that you can't get up. But Jesus came that you might have life. And that more abundantly, he wants to give you. He wants to give you strength to your bones and health to your navels. He wants to give you 70 years plus.
Amen.
Doesn't want you cut off short. He wants full health.
Amen.
Full strength.
Oh,
but the devil's come to rob and steal and destroy.
Yes.
He's a liar.
Amen.
We need to apply the blood of Christ.
Amen.
We need to tell the devil, get back, devil.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord of this life.
Amen.
Lord of this life. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, he's Lord of all. I tell you, he's a short time. He's going to be bound 1,000 years, and then the false prophet and the beast is going to be thrown alive into the lake of fire. He'll attack the book of Genesis upon it being authentic. How many knows that? It's not really, tell you. Not authentic. He'll even send people in to preach false doctrine from it to undermine his strength.
That's great.
That's what he does. Praise God. He'll say that it isn't authentic and he'll stir up the minds of people. Watch where the devil lays. The book of Genesis or the book of Revelation, the first and the last. And the book of Revelation has more symbols in it than all the rest of the books in the Bible. It has more symbols because it is a book of prophecy. It's a prophetic book. Therefore, it has to be understood by a prophetic class of people. Are you hearing me? You know the Word of God says the natural man cannot receive the things of Spirit for the spiritually discerned. This is why, that, look brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Ghost more than ever.
Amen.
The baptism. Because Jesus said he will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Amen.
That's the problem today. Too many people are handling the Word of God and they've never had an experience with the Holy Ghost.
Never.
And they're preaching false stuff because they learned it in some theological seminar.
That's it.
They never fell, got out there with God and really met God and got a call of God. But God's always original.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
God is always original. How many knows Pentecost was a real thing?
Amen.
It was no imitation. All learned in England then.
Right.
God's not looking for some preacher that can preach it in a lovely, sophisticated way or some history lesson.
Nope.
God is looking men and women that will take this book and bring Jesus to these pages and make them live amongst the people.
Amen.
The same yesterday, today and forever.
That's right.
Same God with the same power.
Amen.
I believe God led me to emphasize that He's still alive.
Amen.
He's still the same, and God touched people.
Right.
And you'd be surprised, preachers and everything that came to me and said, "Thank you, brother. We've long not heard that type of preaching, but we need it."
Glory.
I tell you, we need to be reminded that He's still the same. I'll tell you, listen to me this evening, and I'm going to have to come to close. When you start to lift up Jesus, when you start to praise Jesus, when you start to give Jesus Christ His true praise, and the midst that He's the King of Kings, and He's the Lord of Lords, that He is supreme deity, the champion of all champions, I'll tell you, He's coming the same.
Amen.
You can't talk about Him too much. You can't praise Him too much. Like the old American preacher once said, you can't love on Him too much. I believe it was Brother Bob that preached on the Eagle said that. It's true, isn't it? He said, you can't love on Him too much. Jack Cole said, do you want to bring the presence of the Lord? He says, just lift your hands up and say, I love you, Jesus.
Amen.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. He says, you keep doing it, the power of God will come.
Amen.
He wants us to worship Him.
Yes.
He will not give His glory to another.
Hallelujah.
He won't do it.
Amen.
Now I'm going to close just in a moment. You read over in Deuteronomy, the hidden things belong to the Lord. Deuteronomy says that. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which were revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
Amen.
God reveals it to those that He chooses and picks.
Amen.
That have the Spirit of God. Amen? It's not special people, it's people that submitted themselves to God.
Amen.
Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servant the things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
You know, they boiled John alive in oil.
Right.
And they tried to kill him, and he wouldn't die.
Amen.
Boil him alive, and you ever read? Do you ever read how them disciples died? It's terrible. Some of them were crucified upside down because they said, "We are not worthy to die like the Lord." They crucified them upside down. Can you imagine? Somebody took you in the night. They went to put you on the cross. He said, "Hold on a minute, I can't die like the Lord. I'm not worthy." And be crucified upside down. And John banished onto the Isle of Patmos, banished for the testimony of Jesus Christ, banished. But God revealed these wonderful things to them. Tried to murder him, boiled him in oil. But God never fails. I want you to see this tonight. Look, I know there's a lot of things happening today. And you can be so downhearted and so distracted, but God will have a people.
Right.
Clayton Sanmore put this very statement to William Branham. When William Branham saw what they did, Clayton Sanmore and him sat down, and the Spirit of God came in the room. And he said, "But Brother Branham, is it not true that God will have a people?" And he quoted the scriptures, and he went into a prophecy, and Brother Branham said, "That's the truth, brother. God will have a people. Even though people reject the truth, there is a people that will receive it."
Amen.
Praise God. Thank God for the Word of God tonight.
Amen.
Let's just stand and pray. I trust the Lord bless you tonight.
Amen.
Keep on keeping on. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
You know, we should appreciate each other. We don't know how long we're going to be here. The Lord could come. We don't know what's round the corner. We don't know what can happen. Never look to the man. Not even the pastor or a preacher. Look to Jesus. Man will fail, but God will never fail you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He's the same forever. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He knows the very secrets of your heart. He knows what you're thinking. And the Lord's near you tonight.
Amen.
He's very close by the night. Faith brings Him on the scene.
Amen.
Faith brings Jesus on the scene. Where there is faith, He'll move. Jesus said, "Shall I find faith when I come?"
Amen.
Oh, that God would grant us faith. An increase of faith.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, your light has always went forth, even in the darker situations. In the beginning, Lord, you said, let there be light, and there was light, and the light comprehended the darkness. Lord, we thank you this evening for the light of your word. For your word is a lamp on our feet, and it is truly a light on our path. Lord, I'm asking you this evening for that sister, that you grant her grace and strength tonight and touch her. In the name of Jesus. For that brother, that you'll strengthen him and bless him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for young men and older men in this meeting that has a vision to reach people for you, may you grant them the very heart's desire, Lord. May people get saved by the power of God. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, we ask for everyone here this evening your blessing upon them. We've read Revelations and you promised us if we read it, we'll be blessed. Even though if we just read a little bit of it, Lord, we know it's your word.
Yes.
And we ask your blessing to come on your people. Strengthen that brother and strengthen that sister. Help us to draw close to you in these evil days. We know this is Satan's Eden, but you're calling out a people for your name's sake. A people, a bride, that will be ready for the catching away, for the true rapture. Lord, help us to be in that number. Help us to have faith that you'll come on the scene and you'll do things, Lord. And Father, forgive us every one of our shortcomings, wrong thinking, wrong acting. Many times, Lord, we're too quick to jump. But we ask that you'll gently lead us along. Lord, you don't hammer the sheep or poke the sheep or prod the sheep, but you lead your sheep. Lord, you are the great shepherd of the sheep. And we look to you this evening, Lord Jesus. And we do pray you'll lead us into green pastures, flowing with milk and honey, in the depths of revelation of your own word. In Jesus Christ's name. Now, Father, bless and strengthen each one. I pray especially for the wee children tonight. Lord, it's lovely to hear them saying their verses and singing their songs. Lord, may you reach your hand on every one of them, from the youngest to the oldest. Every wee boy and every wee girl, will you cover them with your blood? Will you protect them from the evil of this evil day? In Jesus' precious name. Keep them safe at their school. And Lord, wherever they go, keep your hand of mercy upon them. Let their angel be near them at all times. And do it with us as well, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all as a brother comes.
Well, perhaps this is the life story of the life call and ministry of evangelist Paul Keane. If anyone wants a lend of it, if Sister Carr's printed it, take a lend of it, read it and bring it back. I'm telling you, I've never read nothing like this, and I've read a lot of things, honestly. I can tell you tonight the whole thing, I've read it. It was wonderful how that his mom was dying of cancer. Three tumours in her womb, over 40 years of age, cancer in her breast. The doctor said, you'll die. We might be able to save the baby, but you'll die. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you'll not die, but you'll have a son, a boy, and you'll call him Paul. And he'll have the ministry of the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Signs and wonders will follow him. And she had a boy, 4 pound weight, called him Paul. They took her to the clinic. They did all their examinations. There was no tumours, no cancer on the breast. She breastfed the boy Paul on the same breast that had cancer. And God used him. And he was only 22 when this is written. And you'll see the testimonies and the things in this is outstanding. And the angel of the Lord came to William Branham. And he said, you will not go to Switzerland, for they'll shoot you. But Paul Keane will go in your place. And he's only about 20 years of age. Paul Keane went, and the police was round the service. They wouldn't let him pray for the sick. On the first night, every single policeman got saved.
Amen.
And delivered by the power of God.
Amen.
And revival broke right in Switzerland.
Right.
Many people were healed and delivered. That was what God was able to do. It's been hit up. People don't want you to know what God's doing.
That's right.
But God will not be denied. How many knows that?
Amen.
Tell it from the rooftops.
Yes.
What our Lord's done. If you take a land of this, anybody that wants it, when you read it, pass it on. I have sent it to some people that have WhatsApp different things. If you want me to send it to you, send me a message. I think it's good to read it. It's a wonderful testimony. And William Branham really loved Paul Cain. Paul Cain loved Brother Branham. They run about together. There's so many men you don't hear of. And they chum together and God used them. And the Lord's wonderful, you know.
Amen.
Jesus is coming again. God bless you.
Let's not be those who say the sin of him redeemed by an object of fearless, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.